CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us, as we always are. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we come your way, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, we'll do our very best to answer those for you. And that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. And again, someone's asked you a question. Maybe you've been reading the Bible on your own and come across something you don't understand, please call us. That's why we're here. We love to talk to you. And so again, joining me today, Pete Malinger from Calvary Chapel, El Centro, California, just a couple of miles north of Mexicali, Mexico. Hi and welcome, Pete.
Mike, thank you again for asking me to come on with you. It's a great joy to be here and to represent God's word. It's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a Amen. Wonderful thing that we should really take serious and hold dear to our hearts.
It's the only thing I know that's true. Everything else, I don't know. Moves, fades away, gets old, rusty, ripped off, but God's word will last forever. And so that's a good, that's good news. If you want to be part of the program today, again, 8888-ASK. CSN's the number to call. We got some lines open, and so you're sure to get on if you call right now. Pete, real quick, what's going on at Calvary Chapel El Centro?
Well, it just seems like we've been inundated with baptisms. Two Sundays ago, there was one scheduled. What we did is we have a courtyard in our property with a fountain in it. And while we were digging it out, I said, hey guys, let's dig in another foot and a half deep and we'll make this our baptismal. And so when we baptize people, we just go right out to the courtyard, turn the fountain down and baptize them right there. And so the one person was baptized, and as always we say, if there's anybody else, then come forward. And this young girl that had been contemplating it for quite a while just kicked her shoes right off and went ahead and jumped in, and she was baptized. And wow. Then a young man was baptized after that. Totally just took his shoes off, all his clothes on, went in there, was baptized. So this last Sunday, I had three. And I told everybody, I said, well, the way mathematics works, there should be nine people out here that are getting baptized. And turned out there was just the three, but it was a very, very special time. And boy, we've been having a lot of weddings. We got two more coming up in the next 2 weeks, and we've had one that we just had. It's kind of funny. He was a Marine, and when he was putting the ring on, his hand was shaking so much he couldn't get the ring on his bride. And so I had to hold his hand to calm him down, and I pushed it on. And I said, afterwards, I said, man, I thought you Marines were tough. See, I'm a veteran, so I could say that to him. And he goes, man, I drank way too much coffee.
Oh, man. Well, that's really good. Sounds like the love bug is hiding under the chairs at your church there, biting people unknowingly when they're not looking. So that's good news. God, well, again,
God is good.
Yeah. Amen. Again, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to go to Christopher in Gillette, Wyoming. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Yes, sir. I've heard you guys speak against false teaching, not against the people, of course, but the teaching, and which is wonderful and fine. What about evangelicals or other people that condone those organizations or teachers?
Well, I believe that the Bible tells us to reject whatever is not of God. And when you look at what some of these groups believe, it's Antichrist. You know, all paths lead to God. I'm cool. You're cool. There's no real sin. It's how you look at it. you know, and what may be sin to you is not sin to me. And so therefore, let's just all love one another. Well, that is right from the pit of hell. The Bible's very clear about what is acceptable to God and what isn't. Now, there are always heresies, but then I believe there is what's called damnable heresies. Let me tell you what a heresy would be. You must be baptized three times forward, each one for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Another teacher may say, no, I believe you just need to be baptized one time backward, and that's good enough. No, I believe that you need to, you know, and they go in, those are heresies. The Bible, as Jesus came up out of the water, I think that's good enough. However you want to do that. But no, you've got to, those are heresies. You got to do it now. But there are other heresies that are serious, like many paths to God. When Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So now we have a problem. Because if they're saying there are many paths to God, yet Jesus said he was the only way, well, if you believe what they're saying, you'll end up in hell. So these are problems that we have to really look at in the bigger picture of things, because unfortunately, we realize that there are always going to be these little things that really aren't, how would I say, key to salvation. But there are some that are out there that are. And this is what the cults adhere to. In other words, unless you join their church, you will not go to heaven. That is not in the Bible. We go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for us. His blood covered our sins. And so whether you were at the church of Philippi or the church at Laodicea or some other church mentioned in the New Testament, didn't disqualify you from being a Christian. Now, again, we find many of these ideas that are out there that are very, very scary. The idea of purgatory, that Uncle Fred's going to have another chance by giving a priest some money and or maybe me doing some penance and many, many repetitious prayers, we might be able to spring Uncle Joe out of the hoose cow. No, that's not the way it works. That's a heresy. That could be a damnable heresy, believing that there's another chance when the book of Hebrews says it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment in Hebrews chapter 9. So understanding that these different ideas are out there. Now, when you ask the question, who's Jesus? Well, Jesus was one of the greats. There was Buddha, Mohammed, Jesus, Edward Casey. Everybody has a level of enlightenment. And so by simply believing in the greater good, this will get you to heaven. That is a damnable heresy. And so there's a real difference that we have to look at. Pete, your thoughts.
No, I agree completely on that, especially when you list all the other ones that you just listed.
And Jesus there's many.
And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If there were any other way to get to the Father through salvation, then what would take place is Jesus died in vain. It wasn't something that he had to do. And yet, there in the garden the night before, Jesus said three times in his prayer, Father, if there's any way that this cup could pass from me. And what was that cup? That cup was him going to the cross, not just physically dying, but spiritually paying the price for all of man's sins. All of man's sins, which means even those who rejected him, not just some sins of some people, but all sins. He prayed it three times, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That was his human part, knowing what he was going to have to face. And yet he said, nevertheless, not my will, my fleshly will, but my Father's will. I will yield to that. So it takes a lot more when you hear Jesus make that reference, I am the way, the truth, and life. There is no other way. I mean, if you want to have another way, you're going to be surprised at the end result. And the end result is definitely not going to lead you into the presence of Jesus Christ for eternity. So, summing it up, there is no other way. We have been called to be watchmen on the wall at pastors and warning people against false doctrine and against heresies. And there's been a lot of church splits on heresies, though. You know, some Baptist people at the beginning believed that when they baptized, you had to have your head upriver, and so the sins would wash off of your feet. And then the other one said, no, you have to have your head downriver so that the sins can wash away from your head as well. That's man stuff. And we don't need to get stuck on traditions of man. We need to get stuck on the Word of God and let it stick to us.
So I think, again, this is really important. And so the essentials of Christianity are extremely important. When we get into the peripherals, I always thought about that, Pete, you know, in the Bible where Jesus healed a guy when he made mud and put it on his eyes, told him to go wash, and he received his sight. Another person, he just spoke his eyes into existence. And so there's an old joke that, well, these two started churches, and you have the church of mud in the eye and no mud in the eye. But those are the minor things. The major things are what make a cult a cult, what makes false teaching. And again, many paths to God. Jesus said, as you mentioned, Pete, if there's any other way man can be saved, let this cup pass from me. And Jesus went and died the most gruesome, horrific, humiliating death for all of us. He took our place on the cross. And so it tells me being a good person, joining a church, doing charitable deeds, being a civitan, being something else in service to humankind will never save us from our sins. Hope that helps, Christopher.
What about people that, like, say God's word points out over 125 anathemas towards people that believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet a prominent from a famous family will come and condone the person in that organization that the Bible just pointed out is totally wrong and not of God. Not that we shouldn't be praying for them, but what do you make of the person that everybody holds up and scared to say anything about, and they condone the organization that the scripture clearly proves is false?
Well, I think that if you're saying amen to an organization that is teaching false doctrine, you're as whacked as they are, because it very clearly shows you don't know the Bible. And if you don't know the Bible, you certainly should not be teaching it. So how can I say amen to something unless I'm in agreement? Can I say amen to a group of people that believe Satan and Jesus are brothers? No. Can I say amen to a group of people that believe Jesus is Michael the Archangel? No. Can I say amen to a group of people that believe we all have a level of enlightenment, as I mentioned earlier, we're all Jesus's? No. See, this is where we have to move away. And if somebody is saying, oh, yes, whatever you believe, as long as you're sincere, baby, you're going to make it. Total heresy, and that person should no longer be listened to. But here's the problem. When you go off in an area, generally speaking, you're not off in just one area, you're off in many. And this is the problem that we find in the cults. It isn't just that they deny that Jesus Christ is God, but then they say, you're going to be a God yourself someday. And only by adhering to our scriptures will you make it into heaven. And then they err and they say, and there's three different heavens. There's the heaven where everybody goes. It's so wonderful, according to them. Number two heaven is where good people go. People that practice this particular faith, but they're not really faithful. That's where they go. But if you get all the things done According to our rules and regulations, baby, you make it to the big time. You make it to heaven number 3, where Carol Barrel is standing. In fact, you might even get her for one of your wives. I don't know. But the problem is that this is where. So I believe any pastor, any minister or organization that condones the behavior of something that the Bible clearly says is contrary to Scripture should not be listened to anymore. I don't really care who they are. Any last thoughts, Pete?
Well, I tell everybody in my church that I pastor and have the privilege of almost 50 years of pastoring it, that don't just believe me. Check it out in the Word of God. And make sure that I'm teaching the Word of God. And if I ever get off the Word of God, you let me know. And in 50 years, no one's let me know, because I stay with the Word of God and I don't deviate. And I would say to those people that are afraid to say anything, then if they're a pastor of a church or they're a radio evangelist, don't listen to them anymore. And if it's a pastor of a church, leave. And, you know, you don't have to make a big stink out of it, but you don't want to get a little bit of poison in you. You know what decon is? It's a mouse and a rat killer. And what it consists of is 98.5 good food and like 1% of poison. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes you to get your head shaking up and down. Yes, yes, yes. And he throws in a little bit of poison and you just automatically bite into it and say yes. And pretty soon you buy into all the poison and spiritually you die. And that's why it's so important that we know the Word and that we're keeping the Word and not our opinion.
Amen. I hope that helps, Christopher.
Yes, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
I would reject any person, I don't care how big, how popular, what kind of a shiny smile they may have, I would reject any person or organization that condones the behavior of somebody that's practicing things contrary to the Word of God. And again, those damnable heresies that I talked about, that there's many ways to God, that Jesus Christ is not God. In fact, that's one of the ways that we know whether a person's a true believer. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God? He's not a God. He is God. And again, read Matthew chapter 1. He shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's who Jesus is. So I believe anything that deviates from that, we have no business endorsing, condoning, or even honestly fellowshipping with them. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't go and talk to somebody that is in another faith. Oh, I believe this is how people are one. That doesn't mean that if it was a gathering in a park that I would go up and I would talk to them. Sure, I'd do that. I love them. I want to see them come to Christ. But I wouldn't want to lock arms with them in faith. Now, if we are being invaded by a foreign country, would I lock arms with them to defend the United States? Yes. But when it comes to faith and things of God eternal, we have to be very, very careful. And Paul warns us over and over about those things. Christopher, I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. And I know the Judaizers are only adding one thing. So think of the people that add hundreds and hundreds of things to it, how much more of a false gospel that is.
Yes, with entire volumes of, so to speak, inspired scripture, or just rewrite the Bible to suit your own belief. That's the problem with these that we oftentimes find. Doesn't mean that they're sometimes not sweet people, but they're lost. And being a sweet person doesn't make you a Christian. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. Christopher, stay in line. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. One in particular book called Time to Grow covers the very basics of Christianity. And usually in those basics, this is where you'll find those heretical teachings really differ from straightforward Bible. Now, again, this book called Time to Grow is simply just the Bible on topics that people are concerned about, very similar to Every Man an Answer. And so that's what it is. It isn't a book that I wrote trying to change anything. It's like, as an example, one of the topics will be, what about fellowship? And then I'll have verses there that say, not to forsake the assembly of the saints together. This is how we grow in the Lord. It isn't what I say, it's what the Word of God says on particular topics. But unfortunately, many people in the cults who have deviated from God's Word have a completely different definition of what being saved is, what fellowship is, all these different things. And so I'll send those out to you, Christopher. If you need any more, please let me know. And I appreciate the call. I tell people, stand up for Jesus. So important in these days we live in. God bless you. Let's go to Robert, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hi, welcome.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Jesus, speaking to the disciples, tells them that he has to leave, or the encourager, or the Holy Spirit cannot come into them. Why is it that Jesus had to leave for the Holy Spirit to come? It sounds as if, like, they can't be at the same place at the same time when it's stated, but I know that when John the Baptist baptized him, they said that the Holy Spirit came and rested like a dove. So They can be in the same place, but why does he make the comment that I must leave so he can come?
Well, Jesus, of course, was in one place at one time. Whether we find him walking on the water, the Sea of Galilee, ministering to the crowds of people, feeding them with the loaves and fishes, he was in one place at one time. He says, it's good that I go, for I'll send the Holy Spirit that will encompass literally all those that are believers. So rather than being in one place at one time, now the Holy Spirit can dwell in all of us simultaneously. And I believe this is why it's so important that we understand why it was good that Jesus went. Because again, someday when we're in heaven, when we see the Father and Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, we're going to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is that part of the triune Godhead that has chosen to come and live inside of us. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you, not even into the end of the age. Then Jesus said, I've got to go so the Holy Spirit can come. He's speaking there that he will be with us via the Holy Spirit to strengthen us that we would not be alone. But remember, one place at one time. Jesus said something else, if you want to go along with this. He said, greater works you will do, speaking to the disciples, and I believe all of us afar off, than I have done. Well, how can you do something greater than what Jesus did? Well, again, Jesus in one place at one time, but through the body of believers, as an example, just this radio and those that contribute to it and the pastors that are on it. We're ministering to 1/3 of America right now. Those that want to listen. And that Jesus wasn't able to do that when he was confined in his body. But the invisible Holy Spirit can cause a person to turn the radio on. The Holy Spirit can motivate a person to share their faith with somebody in the line at the grocery store. You see, that's how the Holy Spirit works. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But how does Jesus live inside of me? Via the Holy Spirit. And so I believe this is why it's important that we are led by the Spirit. Because, yes, you're right. The Holy Spirit has always been through the Bible. The miracles did not start in Acts chapter 2 and end in the last chapter of the book of Acts. Some churches teach that. That's wrong. Because the miracles didn't start in Acts chapter 2. They're all the way through the Bible, same Holy Spirit. What happened in Acts chapter 2 is that God, where in times past there was the Moseses and the Elijahs and the Jeremiahs, now the Holy Spirit will come upon any of us that are called by his name to do these things that Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I have done. And so when we understand how important it is that the Holy Spirit, first of all, gives us a love for the lost, and number two, a boldness to speak his truth. That's what I look for of the evidence for somebody that's spirit-filled. Now, in the hyper-Pentecostal church, says, oh, you have to pray in tongues. No, you don't. Paul, when he was filled with the Spirit, didn't pray in tongues. Now, evidently, later in his Christian experience, God gave him that gift because he says, I pray in tongues more than you all. So we understand that at some point he got that gift. But we have to understand also that if you don't have one gift, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, you'll have one of the other gifts. And what's God called you to do? Those are going to be the gifts that we should desire, the best gifts. If you're an evangelist, maybe the word of knowledge would be a really good gift to have. If you're a missionary, maybe the gift of miracles would be a really good gift to have. If you're a person that's really concerned about other people, maybe tongues and intercessory prayer. Maybe if you're a person that is always on the go, these gifts that God has. Now, we see people in the Bible who were used by God as evangelists that did not have love in their message. Enter Jonah. Jonah was told to go tell a Gentile city, greatest revival recorded in the entire Bible. And they repented. They did that. But the problem is, he wasn't saying Jesus or God has a beautiful plan for your life. 40 days and Nineveh is destroyed. And he was happy to say it. Goes up on top of the mountain and looks over the city and just waits for God to fry him. You see, that's evangelism without love. But we're called to be filled with the Spirit so we'll have love for the lost and the boldness to speak the truth. And I believe that is so important right now in what we do. Now, when we come back, Pete, your thoughts on this particular topic, because I believe it is so important. Again, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. If you want to be a part of the program, we'll be right back right after this.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with Pete Mallinger, pastor of Calvary Chapel, El Centro, California, just above Mexicali, Mexico, and a brand new station that went on in his area. And we just want to encourage everybody in that area, check out Pete's church. I think you'll really enjoy it. When we went to the break, we had Robert on the line asking about how important it is that Jesus would leave, that the Holy Spirit would come, the Comforter would come. Pete, your thoughts?
Well, I think we can boil it down really simply if we put it this way, that we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, those three are one. And if we take a look at that and we look at each of them have a role, if you would. So for an example, the Father's the architect. Jesus is the Redeemer that is fulfilling the architect's plan. And then the plan for redemption is that God seals us by the Holy Spirit. As long as Jesus was here, the redemptive plan was fulfilled on the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and then when the Holy Spirit came down, he sealed the church. So each of them have their role, but they're still the same. It's a difficult thing when you try to explain the Trinity, but it's not three plus one plus one. It's three times one, three or one times one instead of plus one, plus one, plus one. So we have three in one, and each have their own role that deals with redemption. God, the Father came up with a plan. God, the Son fulfilled the payment of the plan of sin. The Holy Spirit's role is to seal us. And when we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, we belong to the Lord. Whereas in the Old Testament, as Mike was talking about, the Holy Spirit would fall upon somebody, a prophet or a king, and then it would come off of him. That's why David said, you know, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And a lot of people think that that could happen to them down here on earth. But when you sincerely ask the Lord into your heart, the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, now seals you, and you belong to God as long as you have done it sincerely. Not just say, I got my fire insurance. Okay, I had somebody say to me not too long ago, hey, you can't talk to me about those other things because I said the sinner's prayer, so I'm safe. But their life is totally opposite of that. The way they live their lives demonstrates they never really did that, you know, sincerely accepting Christ. So there's a great difference in the roles of the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father, but they orchestrated together to bring across that one redemptive plan that causes us to be the bride of Christ and that we would be taking part in the marriage supper of the Lamb there in Revelation.
Amen. And so, Robert, I hope that answers it for you.
Very much. I appreciate you. What I understand, my question was, why did Jesus say he had to leave before the Holy Spirit could come? And you explained, you know, Jesus at the time was in his humanity, so he was only in one place. So he left so the Holy Spirit could come and be in all of us or everyone.
Amen.
You got it.
That's good. Robert, say a line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs and share them with your friends. Good evangelistic tools we like to give out here. And again, God bless you. And stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. If you want to be part of the program today, let's go to Anthony, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you so much for what you guys do. And the screener is amazing as well. So I wanted to acknowledge and thank him. My question is, I've been reading through 1st and 2nd Kings, and it seems to acknowledge a book. It says, you know, they go through talking about the different kings, and it says that some of them have information in the book of the history of the kings of Judah and in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. And I've been trying to search online and I haven't found any information. So I was wondering if you pastors knew anything about these books.
Pete, your thoughts?
Well, there are different books that were written during the time that the Word of God was written. But when the council came together, they picked these as leading of the Holy Spirit, that's the information that we need to have to be the lamp unto our feet and light into our life. And I know that there's a lot of books out there that people want to get involved in and find out in, but I'll be honest with you, I've been pastoring for over 48 years, and I still don't have this one down completely yet. So I still kind of stick with this one and not really concern myself with the other ones that were never deemed to be sanctioned by the Holy Spirit.
Now, there are some that believe, and I lean this way myself, that the translators put into our Bible and assign them either by what they addressed or by the writer of the book. And really, many people believe that 1st and 2nd Chronicles is actually 3rd and 4th Kings because it deals with the same topics. Now, the reason we don't find a lot of information about the northern kings is because they were all bad. Started off with Jeroboam, who was exiled into Egypt. And when Solomon died, he came back and over taxes, the nation of Israel divided. And so understanding that the 10 northern tribes never had a good king. They were all bad. Now, Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes of the south, they would have good king, bad king, good king, bad king, bad king, good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, good king, until finally they also were all bad, and God brought his judgment from the Babylonian Empire to the tribe or to the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. Now, the northern tribes, again, not really in that which contains the information that we need concerning the lineage or the tracking of Christ, that Jesus would come through who? The tribe of Benjamin? No, the tribe of Judah. So the two tribes of the south, Judah and Benjamin, they were their own nation, and the 10 northern tribes became their own nation. So you had Israel and you had Judah, which included Benjamin. And so oftentimes you'll find where it talks about other books. Now, some of the other books have been lost in antiquities, not because they were contained valuable information and supernatural insight on UFOs. No, they just were non-relevant. We have what we need in God's word. But many people believe where it talks about these other two books very well could be 1st and 2nd Chronicles, could be 3rd and 4th Kings, because it dealt with the same thing. And that's about all I can say about that, Anthony. I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you, guys.
And so if you got any other questions, please call us. I'm glad to hear you're reading your Bible. In these days that we live in, it's so important to study, to show yourself approved unto God. Look, stay online. We'll get you taken care of with the books and DVDs. Let's go to Mike, Kellogg, Idaho.
Mike Kessler, how are you, brother?
Good. How may I help?
Good. Well, Mike, Mr. Kessler, this is Mike McDonald. I know
well,
you know
hi,
me.
Mike
you did
McDonald,
my wedding.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
To you for...
hey.
I'm glad you check in about every 15 years.
Well, that's all right. Hey, you know what? I mean, so my, it's not really a question, Mike, but it's more of a, you guys as pastors encouraging people to really get into their word. I like what you said to that young gentleman, and I always refer people to John 14:26 and 2 Timothy 2:15. But I told a buddy of mine to maybe be listening to this program so that way he can hear it from a pastor that, hey, you know what? You need to hear from God. And that's the best way to do it is study and study his word and pray. So could you just give a word of encouragement and a shout out to other young believers? They need to spend time in his word.
Yeah, just read. And don't read the Bible, well, you know, like notches on a gun, you know. Well, I knocked off 6 chapters today. Well, what'd you read? Can you remember anything? No, I don't remember a single thing I read, but I knocked off 6 chapters. That's not the way we're to read. You know, the Bible talks about in Psalms 1 that we meditate upon the word. So in other words, when we read, now here's where some of the problems come in. And let's just look at this. When we talk about studying God's word. Well, you know, you get all these books out and you study for 4 hours. This is what freaks a lot of people out because, you know, I mean, you got kids and jobs and dirty dishes and lawns to mow and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about a time where we just sit down, get alone with the Lord, open the Bible and just see not how many chapters I can read, though that would be great as long as we're understanding what we're reading. In fact, that's what Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch when God told Philip to leave his thriving ministry and go down and join himself to a chariot in the desert, carrying an Ethiopian back to Africa. And as he runs up, he finds him reading out of the book of Isaiah. And he yells out to him, "Knowest thou what thou readest?" Do you know what you're reading? Now, a lot of times we read and we kind of got our brain in neutral and, you know, I'm reading these words, but, you know, I'm on vacation someplace. That's not the way we want to read God's word. Think about what you're reading. Think about who this is addressed to and why it was addressed. Look for the encouragement in it. And most of all, look for Jesus in it. For Jesus said, "Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me." So it's always important to find Jesus. I use that illustration in the Old Testament. The prophet is carrying a clay water pot through the city. Pretty soon there's a crowd that gathers behind him because men did not carry water pots. That was a woman's job. Now, I don't mean to offend any women here with this, but I'm just saying in that culture, that's what they did. So him carrying a water pot was very unusual. Then he goes outside the city walls, takes the pot, throws it down, breaks it, and says, "This is what God thinks of your sin." People go, "Oh, what a nice little story." No, that's Jesus. You see, Jesus became an earthen vessel like us. And he was taken outside the walls of Jerusalem, and he was crucified. He was broken for our sins. See? So I believe that when we begin to read the Bible, not as a phone book or Tom Sawyer, but read the Bible as God has encoded in this book words for your soul, I believe it will minister to those issues that are troubling you or who you'll run into tomorrow that is being troubled by issues. Oh, yeah, God's
on this.
He knows who you're going to talk to tomorrow. Because he does those kinds of things. So I believe that, again, when we read, it's not how fast we can read. And if you got more time, certainly read more chapters. But it's, are we ingesting what we're reading? Doth thou know what you're reading? And it's interesting what the Ethiopian eunuch said. He said, "Is this man speaking of somebody else? Who's he speaking of here?" He realized there was something supernatural about what he was reading. And I believe that's the same way it is when you read the scripture. You know, the Jewish people, those that really love God, they believe the Bible is as alive as any living thing that we know. Yeah, it doesn't have blood and corpuscles and white blood cells, but it's just as alive as anything that you know is alive. And it's able to go into your soul and separate the bone from the marrow, get down to really what the matter is. And I found great comfort in God's word. And God speaks to us. And when everybody's saying, oh, you're doomed, you're going to, God says, no, I'm going to stand with you. And those people that dig a pit, they're going to fall in themselves. Those people that need your help, you're going to be able to minister to them. Those people that don't know who Jesus is, you're going to be able to explain it to them because you prepared your heart. Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How important is that in this world that we're in? Pete, your thoughts.
I completely agree with you. And I encourage people to be in the word of God, read the word of God. But I also tell them that in their devotional time when they're reading the word of God, you said notches, you know, I usually tell them, you know, don't try and check the box. I got so many chapters done. Like you said, they don't remember it. But I tell them to sit down and to pray first and to pray that the Lord would truly speak to their hearts. And then just begin to read nice and slow and just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you. And if you only get three verses, but you get a personal message from the living God, then it is better than 10 chapters and you got nothing. And sometimes that word that you're going to get, you might even think, and Mike, you referred to this earlier, you might think, well, that doesn't apply to me. But after you listen to the Holy Spirit and you go through your day, you run across somebody that it applies to them, and he was just giving you insight to help them. And that's why it's so important that we learn to hear the voice of God. I remember the very first time, Mike, it ever happened to me. I was 6 months old in the Lord, and I was asked to do a Bible study. And I said, sure, but you have to ask Pastor Mike McIntosh. And I thought in my heart, there's no way he's going to let me teach it. And this gal came back and said, he can teach it. So I had to start teaching it. And I was scared to death. I didn't know anything. And so I got a commentary and I wrote all kinds of notes and I went and read it and then skedaddled out of that because I was afraid they were going to ask me a question. And after a while, I got more comfortable. And then one day, this lady said, what about this? And it wasn't something that I'd studied. And she wanted to know what it meant. And I said, well, let's go there and read it together. And when we read it together, it was like the Lord just opened up the understanding of what that parable was all about. And I was able to share that with her. And then she looked at me and goes, boy, you're full of it. And at first I didn't know what she meant. And then I said, full of what? Full of the Holy Spirit. And I realized as I was driving home that night that the Holy Spirit had spoken to me so clearly that I was able to relate it to somebody and give them the answer that they so desperately needed out of the Word of God. And I believe that if we take our time and slowly read through the Scriptures, God's going to speak to us for ourselves or for somebody else. I had somebody the other day tell me, and there's sometimes you're teaching, and I'm right on the edge of my seat, and I'm listening to every word, and there's other times that it doesn't really apply to me, and so I'm not that grooving. And I said, well, you need to listen even closer because it could be the Lord's preparing you to share it with somebody else, and you're missing out on the blessing. And he went, oh, wow. Take the word of God. Spend some time, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. That's the goal when you're in the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You'll find gems in there that nothing compares to them. Mike?
Amen. So it's not in the abundance oftentimes, but it's in the quality of our studying God's Word. So I would just tell you, Mike, that for anybody that's listening, just read. It's God's love letter to you. And so don't you want to know what your king thinks of you? I think he does. Have a message for our heart. So I just want to encourage you in that. And I hope that helps, Mike.
You know, we're going to stay the course. We're not going to, I have people in my home groups on Thursday nights that are always, well, I don't understand. Stay the course is what exactly what we just talked about.
and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Read it for the second, third time as God is leading you to read. Let him direct, kind of let your fingers do the walking. Let him lead you to the book that he wants you to start in, and then take your time as he leads you to do so. So that's pretty encouraging. I appreciate it. I love you guys. I've always enjoyed listening to your teaching. So let's keep up the good work, boys. We're heaven bound.
Amen. Now, real quick, I want to point something out here I think is important, because you kind of said it. I think we need to be very careful in what I call hopscotch theology. Now, what's that? Well, that's where you just pick up the Bible, open it up, point your finger to Scripture, and that's my verse for the day. And Judas hung himself. Oh, that can't be right. You close the Bible. And okay, my word for a day, and you open it again and point to another verse, and it says, go ye therefore and do likewise. No, we don't want to have that kind of theology, popcorn theology, hopscotch theology. Systematic reading of God's word, precept upon precept, Isaiah tells us, line upon line. And people that go to the Bible kind of just trying to pop a verse out, is, I think, dangerous, because it can be taken out of context. And so often, much of the theology today that's even taught by ministers is out of context. Well, if you want whatever it is you have your heart set on, just repeat Jabez's prayer 49 times and whammo, you get what you want. No, not at all. I thank God that Jabez prayed his prayer and God answered it. But God wants to answer your prayer, not Jabez. Jabez's prayer is a blueprint, just like when Jesus taught the disciples to pray. They came to Jesus and teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Well, when you pray, Jesus said, repeat Jabez's prayer over and over again till you get what you want. No, it does not say that. And yet I find so much theology today is centered around me. It's all about you, baby. My kingdom come, my will be done. And if God fits in there somehow, that's cool. No, Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we look at these prayer examples in the Bible, and again, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. Actually, the Lord's Prayer is in the next chapter. But teaching us how to pray, when you look at it up close, you realize it's a blueprint. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this mindlessly till it means nothing. That's what some churches do, don't they? He said, when you pray, and here it is, everyone, pray in this manner. Oh, you mean the Lord's Prayer is kind of a blueprint? What my prayer should contain? Yes, that's what it's about. No, it's not wrong to pray the Lord's Prayer. Please don't get me wrong. But it is a blueprint for what our prayers should contain. Isn't it interesting that we can take something as spiritual as Jesus teaching the disciples to pray and make it a dead orthodoxy? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, I've listened to some radio networks that embrace this kind of idea. And when I hear this over and over and over again, if my children came to me and said, Daddy, buy me a bicycle, Daddy, buy me a bicycle, Daddy, buy me a bicycle, Daddy, buy my bicycle, what's wrong with you? You see, this is what and where the bus has gone off the road. And so going back to that love relationship with your Father, reading that love manual that God's written to us. Pete, any last thoughts? We got about a minute.
Yeah, Mike, I'm really concerned for those people who have been taught to pray that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in a system like that because that's how I was taught. I didn't know any difference. And instead of coming down on those people, they're just doing what they're taught. And yeah. I blame the overseers, the priests, and the different people that tell them to pray that way. They're going to have a lot to answer, because God wants us to have a relationship with him, not a recording with him.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important. Hope that helps, Mike. Stay in line. We'll send you out some of the newest books and DVDs we've got. Good to talk to you. Tell everybody hi for me. I appreciate that. Going back to our previous caller about these different books, actually, 1 and 2 Samuel in many Bibles is 1 and 2 Kings. And then 1 and 2 Chronicles is actually 3 and 4 Kings, just to make that right. And so I hope that shines a little bit of light on that for you, these different books that the Bible talks about. And so actually, 1 and 2 Kings would actually be 3 and 4 Kings. 1 and 2 Samuel would be 1 and 2 Kings. And Chronicle remains the same. Hope that helps. Hey, everybody, have a good night. Pete, thanks so much for being on today.
I enjoyed it much. God bless everybody.
83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.